Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Trick shots!
Trick shots!
And Rob Hochberg, exciting. Love all those videos. You keep sending them to us. We will keep putting them on TV. And welcome to today's show. I'm Rachel Nichols, alongside former number two overall pick Jay Williams and New York Times bestselling author Brian Windhorst. Guys, coming up, Nets GM Sean Marks did not shut the door on the possibility of KD returning this season if play resumes this summer. We will share his thoughts in just a few minutes. First, though, I want to start today's show with a sneak peek at the next two episodes of The Last Dance. In this installment, we finally get the backstory on the fight between Michael Jordan and teammate Steve Kerr during training camp in 1995. Now, this was 2 years before Kerr hit the series-clinching shot in Game 6 of the 97 Finals. Take a look.
So one day, at practice, Phil put Steve Kerr guarding me.
We were on opposite sides in a scrimmage, and he's talking all kinds of trash, and I'm pissed because, you know, we're getting our ass kicked.
Phil sensed my aggression, but he was trying to tone me down, and he starts calling these tic-tac fouls. Now, I'm getting mad because for you to be protecting this guy, that's not going to help us when we play New York. It's not going to help us when we play these teams that are very physical. Next time he did it, I just haul off the and I said... And I fouled Steve Kerr. I said, "Now that's foul."
I have a lot of patience as a human being, but I tend to snap at some point because I'm extremely competitive too. Just not really good enough to back it up usually. But I'm going. I'm going. I'm gonna fight.
He hauls off and hits me in the chest, and I just haul off and hit him right in the eye. And Phil just throws me out of practice.
Brian, we've heard so many stories about how hard Michael was on his teammates, but not many about his teammates pushing, or in this case, fighting him. And it's especially notable that at this point, these guys didn't know each other well. They'd only been teammates for a couple months. What changed for the Bulls after this fight?
Yeah, I think the pointing out the time and place is super relevant to this story because it was early in that season, Steve Kerr's first year there. By the way, we've seen Steve Kerr snap on the sidelines and go crazy with referees and get thrown out of games and stuff, so I believe it. But Michael has said in other interviews that he really hadn't connected to his teammates after coming back from baseball, and that this was a wake-up call for him. Not only that he needed to get to know his guys a little bit better, but he needed to moderate his behavior a little bit. And look, only his teammates can know whether it really made a difference. But I will say this, Jay can probably back me up on this. So many NBA fights have been a result of practice foul calls, which it seemed like could play a role here as well.
Great call on that, Brian. You're exactly right. And look, you know, Rachel, this stuff happens every single day sometimes for some teams. It happens multiple times throughout the course of the season. Guys get in fights, guys throw punches. But ultimately, I think that experience can bring a team a lot closer. And just to add a caveat to what Brian said about Jordan coming back from baseball, I thought it was really good for him to see a guy like Steve Kerr that may not be as athletically gifted as Michael Jordan, but was relentless and not willing just to back down. And that's the type of fight that you do need on the team, obviously, when they went on to win three more championships.
Yeah, I mean, look, you get a respect factor going there, too. And you say there are fights now, guys, but it is nothing like back in the 90s. In fact,
fair.
I asked Steve Kerr about this when we did an interview with him just the other day. Take a listen to what he said.
Practice fights happened all the time. And practices were very different back then. There was intense competition in practices. We scrimmaged, we competed, we butted heads. And on every team that I was ever on, there were three or four practice fights a year. It was not uncommon.
Right.
Generally, those things remained under wraps. And I don't think anybody found out about the fight that Michael and I got into for months. I think it came out, you know, way later. But it stuff like that happened. It was just intense competition.
It really is amazing how much has changed on that front because, guys, it's an international incident now if teammates look crossly at each other. Remember LeBron subtweets Kevin Love? It's discussed on talk shows for a month. Jimmy Butler beats Karl Anthony Towns in a game of pickup at a practice, and it is front page news. Michael Jordan punched Steve Kerr in the face, and the next day they were like, ah. We're all good. Amazing. All right. I promised you guys some KD news. So let's get to it. Guys, Kevin is months removed, just 11 months. So not quite a year from rupturing his Achilles in game 5 of the NBA Finals. Just before the season was shut down, we started getting glimpses of him working out and he looked pretty healthy. Nets GM Sean Marks spoke to News Hub, that's in his native New Zealand, about the possibility of KD returning if this season is saved and they play, like, let's say, in July or August. Here's what Sean said, quote, "That's a $110 million question. Do you wonder where he got that number from? In all seriousness, we have tried not to talk about his timeline a lot. I can tell you this, though. Before the pandemic, he looked like Kevin Durant, and that's a good thing. When you've got enough invested in a player like Kevin, we're never going to push him to come back." So, Jay, you spend a lot of KD. You guys host the Boardroom on ESPN+. What has Kevin told you about where he stands physically?
Well, I mean, every time I talk to Kev, he's saying he's been in the gym and that he feels really good. And I think that's incredible. I also think you have to factor in this pandemic and rehab time and how all that plays into it. And so much of this, Rachel, is a moving target. To be realistic, say if hypothetically we don't have games in the regular season and you go right back into the playoffs, the amount of games that you have to play in such a short time frame, almost you could say it can be used against Kevin to get hurt if he's not managed the proper way. That's way different than you starting out next regular season and kind of easing back into the flow and the rhythm of what your playing time will be and the time you spend doing rehab. So look, Kevin is his own man. I just don't know if I see it being as realistic, him coming back and playing in the playoffs if we do have playoffs, especially if Kyrie's not playing as well.
Well, look, his business partner, Rich Kleiman, has downplayed this idea. But one thing I do want to point out, Kevin had his name on the preliminary basketball roster for the Olympics for Tokyo because he thought there was a possibility he might be able to play with Team USA. Guess what? That was supposed to be July and August. We may face the return of a season in July and August. So while certainly there's no way to know, at one point Kevin thought that was a possibility. And I will say this, if we get back this season, it's going to be a free-for-all. I don't think seedings are going to matter as much. And even at the 7th seed, if Kevin Durant could possibly play, I would not rule the Nets out. But, so let's not assume anything, but let's watch.
Brian, can I ask you this, though? Because we've seen some guys, if they don't, you know, if you haven't played a lot of competitive games for a long time, could we potentially see more injuries in basketball if guys don't have that kind of 2 or 3 week runway to actually start training and get ready for this stuff? That's another hypothetical question that we have to start factoring in as well.
For sure.
I mean, look, to your point, Brian, about the seeding, in the lockout shortened season, right, we saw the Knicks as the 8th seed make it to the NBA Finals. So it could happen. But, Jay, I got to say I'm with you on this risk of re-injury as someone who was in the building as Kevin was carried off the court at the NBA Finals for a game that, frankly, if we all had a time machine, people would lie in front of the railroad tracks not to let him play in. Rushing back doesn't seem like a great idea. All right, coming up on the anniversary of Larry Bird's most iconic moment as a Celtic, we will play a little what if. What if Larry Legend played in this era of lots of threes and less contact? But first, it's time for some more distant replays. These are all from this date in NBA history. Love it. Take a look.
Remember, he averaged close to 20 a game in the playoff sweep over the Cleveland Cavaliers. And the numbers of Michael Jordan, 15 of 31. He's got 42 for Jordan. The Bulls lead 88-82. One of those games where the Bulls have needed a bit more from Michael Jordan. Pick and roll. Oh, Stoudemire! A play down hard!
Steve Nash got the assist, his fourth.
Gasol three, up to the left, the clock at five. Conley lost it, knocked away. The shot clock is off. The Thunder will keep it on the floor with a chance to take the lead. Durant, the lead! Six of the last seven field goals, and he assists on the other one. Kevin Durant, 35 points, 15 rebounds, and the go-ahead shot to put Oklahoma City up one with 11.1 to go.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
Just because the game we love is on hold doesn't mean it leaves us. All the hype, all the passion, they'll remain. When you're a fan, you're never alone.
NBA fans, we miss you. Can't wait to play in front of you guys again.
We're in this together. The NBA on ESPN.
Coming up later at 5 o'clock Eastern, it's SportsCenter with the PTI guys joining the show at 5:30. And then we cap the day with SVP at midnight Eastern. That's after game four of the 2004 ALCS between the Yankees and the Red Sox. Sorry, producer Steve. Sorry, producer Danny. What can I tell you? It's history. It happened. And on Saturday, UFC 249 is back and coming to you live from Jacksonville with the most stacked card in UFC history. The prelims start at 6 Eastern, 3 Pacific on ESPN and ESPN Deportes. To order the main card in English and Spanish, go to ESPNplus.com/PPV. Welcome back to The Jump. Starting tonight at 7 o'clock Eastern Time, ESPN2 is going to begin airing the new season of the NBA's official 2K League. All of which means I am thrilled to be joined by the reigning 2K League Finals MVP, Bear DeBeast. Welcome.
Hey, how are you? Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Reigning champion, Finals MVP. We love that you're here. Can you describe your last 12 months? Because you were undrafted in your first year. Then you went to a full-time starter to all of this. You were the one chosen by the league to travel to China. What has this all been like?
Sometimes you dream and you have this amazing dream and you want to wake up and you want to live that amazing dream. I'm like light years past that. I never thought that I'm going to be on ESPN. I'm going to travel to China. I'm going to go to Korea. I'm going to be an NBA 2K League champion, considered, you know, the best player in the world at 2K. I never considered this happening, but it's a dream come true. It's a blessing.
Well, you'll be on ESPN tonight and you'll be on the app all week. And if you are an NBA fan who's missing the game, who maybe hasn't watched 2K before on TV or on Twitch or anything, what can people expect to see?
It's very unique. So it's like the league is very unique, but similar to the NBA, the trash talk goes on. We talk a lot of trash. That's the thing to look for, and we're always mic'd up. So not so much an NBA where you can kind of hear it through TV, but you can hear it through studio. Like, you can hear us. And it is competitive play. So you're like, it's a lot of people play 2K. We're playing at the highest level. So if you like competition, you're going to see competition from the greatest players in the world. It's fun to watch.
You are the highest level of 2K. You guys are the pro of pros. They tried to have some of the NBA players play 2K in a tournament right when the beginning of this shutdown happened. How do you evaluate how the NBA players did playing your sport as you try to thumb play their sport?
They're like, if I had to scale to 1 to 10, they're like a -5. No, I'm playing. They're actually,
you do talk trash.
they're actually pretty good. I'm not going to lie. So like, you know, probably LeBron might not, he's 35, but the younger guys, like, we got Like, we got Josh Okogie on our team. We got Cat. We got D'Lo. They play 2K. Like,
those are big 2K guys. Cat and D'Lo are huge gamers.
Exactly. So they know how to play 2K, and they're actually really good at 2K. So it's pretty cool because we encounter them and we talk to them, and they're like, man, you guys play 2K for a living. It's the best thing in the world. We're like, man, you dudes are in the NBA. It's the best.
Right.
So it's pretty dope.
That's awesome. Well, you are our live sports right now. I know ESPN has The Last Dance, but don't tell anyone. I know how The Last Dance ends. So you are the guys who are playing an open sport. We don't know how the games are going to go. That is so exciting for fans who have been missing that competition. Thank you so much, Bear. We'll be looking forward to tonight.
No problem. Thank you so much. Tune in. If you want to be entertained, we got you, baby. 2K League got you. We're here for you. Yeah.
Coming up, should NBA fans expect a permanent shift to the league's calendar moving forward? Like starting the season on Christmas Day, we will discuss that next. But first, here is what The Jump recommends for today. Ramona Shelburne shares the backstory of Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant's private friendship began 2 decades ago. That's on the ESPN app right now. Most people didn't even realize how close they were until MJ's emotional speech at Kobe's memorial. Wow, that, of course, a moment we will never forget. The Jump will be right back after this.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
The goal here is to raise as much funding as we possibly can
for these amazing charities that are providing help for all of the families and people in need.
I want you to know we're all in this together.
We're going to let you bang the drum. You get to be the leader of the loudest stadium in the NFL.
Play against my five-a-side team.
We're going to have a great time and raise a lot of money for charity.
Hopefully we can all make positive impacts to this world today.
We continue our look back at the greatest games in NBA Finals history with a pair of bookends tomorrow. First, Game 3 of the 2006 Finals, Dwayne Wade and Shaq leading the Heat to an incredible comeback, followed by Game 2 of the 2011 Finals. Dirk Nowitzki gets his revenge, steals one from the Heatles late. Gonna be fun. All right, crunch time here on The Jump. Clippers owner Steve Ballmer's purchase of the Forum in Inglewood is complete. That clears the way for the Clippers to build their own arena across the street. And according to a statement from the Forum, quote, there are no current plans to change the operations. But Brian, what are the Clippers' long-term plans for the Lakers' old arena?
What's the definition of a financial flex during a pandemic? Spending $100 million on an arena you eventually end up probably tearing down? The key word in there is current. They don't have their new building yet, but eventually they're going to build what they believe will be the premier basketball facility in the world. And then all bets are off on what the future of the Forum would be.
I agree with you, Brian. This is almost, Rachel, this is like the movie, the show Billions, okay?
Right.
It's like Steve Ballmer is Bobby Axelrod, and he's just making these power plays and just say, I'm just going to hold on to it for a little bit just because I did want to financially flex, and we'll decide to do what we want to do with it when we decide to do what we want to do with it.
Great Billions reference, great show, and yeah, I mean, two rival teams, the Clippers have been the little brother forever, now the idea that they've bought the Lakers' historic building, the place where so much history was made, and if they want, they can knock it down anytime. All right, guys, on this date in 1981, Larry Bird followed up a miss on a 20-footer with this crazy putback in Game 1 of the NBA Finals. This prompted then-Celtics executive Red Auerbach to call it, quote, the best play he ever saw. The Celtics, of course, won that series, the first of three titles for Bird. So, what if Larry Bird played in this era, guys? Bird shot 40% or better from three-point range 6 times in his career. Makes you wonder how that would translate to today. Jay Will, what do you think if Bird played in 2020?
Rich, I don't know. I think he might average 30. I mean, here's the thing. Nobody could ever rush Larry Bird. I know guys are way more athletic now, but his ability to shoot the ball, depending upon the team he's on, like, he can get anywhere he wants to be and shoot over smaller players. And he was one of the most crafty players the game has ever seen. So I think his game translates to any time period.
great size, great intelligence, terrific passer, great shooter. He would kick butt today. Teams would probably try to isolate him in switches, and I don't know if he'd make all defensive teams like he did back then. Guess what? He had 1,500 steals in his career. He'd pick their pockets anyway.
Yeah, Larry Bird, great in any era. That's an easy one. All right, I want to talk about the NBA calendar, guys. The league has already postponed the draft lottery. They postponed the scouting combine. Both of those were scheduled for later this month. And Woj has reported Adam Silver and the Board of Governors are continuing to discuss delaying the start of next season until December, even though we don't know how this season is going to end. Now, we haven't had a season start in December since the lockout shortened 2011-2012 campaign. But, Brian, do you expect if there is a shift this year, it will lead to a permanent shift in the league calendar? Or would starting in December this year just mean a shortened season next time and then they would get back on a regular schedule?
The reason they want to push it to December is maybe they'll let fans in the building have a better chance of that. It's a monetary decision as much as anything. And if you're ever going to make the change on the calendar, this would be it. And so you'd basically have the NBA season start 2 months later and end 2 months later. So you'd play in July and August, and you'd be off in October, November, September, October, November. A lot of people love this idea. You would get away from competing with football. Maybe now is the time.
You know, Brian, I'm with you on this one. I think the probability, I would say, has to be somewhat high if you're thinking about this. You don't want to compete with football, so what would you do? You'd rather punch down on baseball. And if you can own, summertime basketball is already big. It's already like a cultural icon, definitely within cities and things of that sort. So if you're able to extend that runway period, think about how long you could dominate the airwaves. And look, the reality is October, November, December, we pay attention to basketball because we love it, but fans are so consolidated with so many other sports, college football, football, college basketball, you don't really see it until after March Madness. So I like that strategy, and I think the CEO of the Atlanta Hawks actually had that right frame of mind when he spoke about it at the MIT Sloan Conference.
Yeah, he's been pushing for this way before this pandemic hit. And Jay, you're certainly right too about March Madness. The idea that you could separate the end of the NBA season from that would be great. Although I got to tell you guys, if they do start in December, and I love starting on Christmas Day as a launching point, I hope that also means that they check down from 82 and maybe they give us 70-something games, something like that instead. I just don't know if it makes sense to be doing a full 82-game regular season anymore. And if you're going to start moving things around, I don't know, Jay, would you be in favor of them going down to 60-something, 70-something games?
Obviously, there's a lot of financial issues there at stake, Rachel, but I'm with you with decreasing games to a certain ability. I mean, the fact that these guys are playing all year long and it's constant training, I mean, that's what sports is now. It's 24/7, 365. So I would like to see guys at the beginning of the season play hard all the way throughout the course of the season. If less games means that, then I'm all in for that.
Well, part of the other thing could happen here is the other changes that the NBA has kicked around to the schedule could be implemented. The idea of the midseason tournament, the idea of a play-in tournament. And if you're going to revamp the schedule, you could revamp everything, and a reduction of games could be a part of that. Also, Summer League is potentially in September in Vegas, and maybe Labor Day for free agency could be a cool little thing.
As someone who has spent a lot of time in Las Vegas in July, where it's 115 degrees, I am all for the idea of fall league instead. I would also love to see them flip the NBA draft with free agency, switch those. That could happen if we revamp the calendar. So personally, I think this is an opportunity. It's hard to get new ideas through unless you're in a time of crisis. We're certainly in a time of crisis. We'll see what happens. All right, Jay and Brian, thanks for joining me.